Good morning. It's good to see all of you this morning. It's been quite the week. Man, I've been so sick all week, but I am excited to be here. The brain fog was for real, but I think God's got something for us. And I'm glad you wrestled your way out of whatever that was last night. What was that? It was like walking on styrofoam balls or something. It was weird. We're just glad you're here. So welcome 9:30. I'm going to welcome Tremont, our Tremont location, in a second. We'll do that after I pray. Man, can I just say that so many people have done so much to get us to this point. And thank you to whoever you are. I'm going to do that in a much better fashion in the near future. But for this morning, I'm just filled with gratitude for all the people from Lighthouse, from Orangeburg, from Cressona, from Schuylkillhaven, from Second Street. All those people that have put their heart and soul into moving us as one church to this place. Thank you so much. But most importantly, like what I'm really kind of overcome by this morning is just gratitude to God for all that he has done. So how about, like, I know like half of you are here 9:30, you know, like we're missing maybe, but I'm believing that the people that came out through the snow are maybe the rowdy ones from 9:30. Maybe the ones who get a little unhinged. So can we just, I don't do this often, so if you're new here, don't get weirded out. Like, this is just, when we clap, it's like a way of saying amen. It's like how we thank God. So how about real fast, gotta stop playing sad music. How about we just give God like a little shout, a little clap, a little thank you for all he's done to get us here. Thank you, God, huh? Yeah. This may be, you kept playing the sad. It did, it was sounding good. So this may be a short sermon this morning. We'll see. Let me pray and then we'll thank. Then we'll invite Tremont to join us. God, we're so thankful for the space. I pray that you would give me the chest capacity, the strength to speak your words, not mine. We're not interested in anything else. It has been a week. Probably not just for me, probably for some of these people sitting here that have been through the ringer, that are tired and worn out and beat up. What we need is for you to come here in this space and do your thing. That your strength would be on display. Would you encourage those who need encouragement? Would you strengthen those who need strength this morning? We pray that you would bless this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, officially welcome 9:30 and welcome those of you that have, I forget where the cameras are. I think they're up there somewhere. Welcome, Tremont. It's good to have you guys, coming to you from Orangeburg, and excited about what we got for you today. They climbed up a nasty hill this morning in Tremont, so whoever you are up there, you earned it this morning. I'm gonna do whatever I can for you this morning. So we're taking a little break from what we've been doing over the last couple weeks, which has been walking through the book of Daniel, and it's a series that we call Resilient. Resilient. And I wanted to kind of like talk a little bit about, I built a boat. No, I'm not losing my marbles. That's the title of today's message. I built a boat. And I want to talk to you about what it means to build something in your life or rebuild something in your life. And some of you maybe are trying to rebuild some pieces of your life. You're not sure. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's your purpose. Maybe it's your family. I don't know. Maybe some of you are just trying to build something. You just get to feel like you're getting started, and you know God's leading you in a new direction. You just want to get in that direction. And I also want to talk to us together as a church, both here in Orangeburg for the very first time and in Tremont, about what we can build together. Before I jump into my story about how I built a boat one time, I just forgot, and I don't want to forget. March 1st, I love soft openings. They're great. Stuff never works the way you want it to work. You iron out the kinks, and then you have like a grand opening. Our grand opening weekend is going to be the weekend of March 1st. We'll have a worship night. That Friday, we'll have a Christian comedian that Saturday, and we're going to invite your friends that Sunday morning. It's going to be special. So put that in your calendar. All right, you ready? I built a boat. When I was in high school, I had this friend. He was my neighbor. He lived up the street. His name was Lance. And, you know, we weren't like kids these days, constantly on our phones and doing all that fun stuff. I think we had a Nintendo 64. Whatever. What was the one you had to blow in the... No, that was Atari. No, we upgraded. We were a Nintendo 64, right? Like, and we used to rock that thing out, but we weren't, like, sucked into it all the time. That wasn't, like, our whole deal. So we spent a lot of time outside, and we would come up like with really stupid ideas, like, hey, let's play tag with BB guns, and don't do that if you're a kid in this. Some of you have done it based on the laughs. We figured out how to, you know, like make camouflage shirts by gluing to our mother's to our mother's disappointment, gluing sticks and leaves to our best shirts. We were constantly outside messing around and trying to figure out stuff and playing around and exploring and using our brains and our hands to do stuff. And my dad had tore apart an old deck, and there was these awesome 2x6 and 2x4s in our basement. They were painted red. Remember how like every deck was like that weird painted red color? Do you remember that? And they were rotted, old, pressure-treated lumber. And we saw this beautiful stack of wood. Some of you still, like, see a stack of wood, and you're like, ooh, I got to get my hands on that, right? That's how we were. We saw this beautiful stack of wood, and we were like, yeah, let's build something. I said, what should we build? And my friend goes, well, there's a creek right out front. This is the creek that runs along Panther Valley Road on your way to Hidden Valley Golf Course. Just so we're clear, we're not talking about, like, the little Schuylkill here. This is, like, enough of a creek that you could jump over it if you really wanted to. That's what we're talking about. But for whatever reason, I thought, that sounds like a good idea. Let's build a boat out of old 2x6 pressure-treated lumber. So we built this square-looking boat. It took us like 3 days. We carried this thing. It was so heavy. It was so heavy. Like, we should have had a hand truck for this bad boy. I don't know at what point, none of us ever thought, we'll ask the question, like probably the most important question if you're building a boat, none of us ever asked it. Will it float? Like, we heaved this thing down to the river. We got down there and we realized that the creek was too small. So you know what we spent the next week doing? Damming the creek and shoveling out the side of it to try to make a pond. My parents had to look out that front window and think, these kids are not going to make it anywhere. We better just let them have their fun. My friend Lance, you know what he does now? He builds hovercrafts for the military. So we got that going for us. we took it down after spending a week. We threw it into the water, and it did promptly, without reservation, exactly what you think it would do. Sank right to the bottom. Took us another whole day to get it out of that mess. What a complete waste of time. We put so much heart and energy into it. It was so important. We were really into it. We made all the cuts. Every board was plumb. But it still wasn't like something we should have been building or how we should have been building it. When you're building the wrong stuff, your efforts never return what you hope they would return. The effort you put into it doesn't yield to you what you think it would yield. And here's the other thing about building. All of us are building something. It's not a question of whether you're building or not. It's a question of what you're building. We're building important stuff. Lives, our purpose, meaning, dreams. We're building our sense of value. We're building all kinds of really important stuff that we don't really pay attention to that much. And when building the important stuff gets hard, what happens is we start building lesser things. Instead of our building our sense of value and meaning, it got really hard, and maybe some people came in and they kind of took some shots at that value and that purpose and that meaning. So we start to build walls instead. Instead of building your purpose, which can be difficult and confusing, trying to figure out which way God wants you to go and how he's wired you and how he's uniquely designed you to make a positive impact on your world, we start building our purpose, but then it gets hard and confusing. And so instead of building our purpose, we build distractions that make us feel better temporarily, but ultimately keep us from the purpose that God intended us for. There's this incredible passage in the book of Haggai. I don't know when the last time you visited this two-page book was. It's a minor prophet in the back of the Old Testament. It'll take you forever to find if you're just doing one of these, like, flip things. Your best option is to go to the table of contents on your phone or in the front of your Bible if you want to find it. And it's kind of like post what we've been studying in the book of Daniel, the story that I want to talk to you about today. The people of Israel had been released. The Babylonians that had taken them captive were conquered by the Persians, and the Persians said, go back to your home. We don't want you here. You're not going to serve. Just go back to your home. And so the Israelites and their nation that were captives in Babylon head back to their homes to start to rebuild. They get back there and they immediately begin to rebuild the temple. What God had there, a place where they would go and worship God and focus on him, and it was high priority for them as a people. It had once been glorious, and now it laid in ruins. And as they start to rebuild the temple of God, they face opposition and discouragement, and they stop. You know what that's like. Some of you faced opposition and discouragement this morning, this week. Some of you have been living in opposition and discouragement for the last, like, year. Years, maybe. You've been living and trying to build what God wants you to build and trying to build on what he's given you, and it seems like no matter what steps you take forward, there's always somebody like pulling you back. No matter how far you get, like, there's just somebody cutting you down. And the discouragement just settles in. And here's what I know about opposition. It is not a sign that you are doing the wrong things. It's often a sign that you're doing the right stuff. It's not reflective of your effort. It's usually a sign that you are putting effort in the right direction. There is an enemy that has come to steal and kill and destroy. And that enemy does not want to see you building what God wants you building. Rebuilding what God wants you to rebuild. So no matter what steps you take, the opposition is there and the discouragement sets in. Discouragement, it'll attach to like your weak spots. You ever notice that? Like your insecure areas, that's where discouragement will set in. It'll hit you when you're tired and worn out. It doesn't always happen after a failure. Sometimes discouragement sets in after a win. Discouragement is like this constant cloud that can just kind of chase you and absorb you. If these people faced what should have been expected, doing what God wanted them to do with their lives. Opposition and discouragement. And if you're facing opposition and discouragement this morning, man, it is likely that you are heading in a direction that God wants you to head. But they just stop. They face this opposition and discouragement and they go, all right, we can't do it anymore. And they quit. And I wonder how many people, I've done that. I've wanted to do that a whole lot. We just quit because things get hard. We listen to the voices of the opposition telling us that we're not good enough or we don't have what it takes or who we thinking that we can build something great or do something awesome with our lives. We listen to the lies the enemy just keeps throwing at us, highlighting all of our failures of our past and all the things they told us, about why we'll never be something or do something. We listen to all that mess and then the discouragement, it settles into our hearts and we just stop. For 16 years, the nation of Israel, back in their homeland, looks at the worn out, broken down temple that they had started to rebuild and just keeps walking by. Instead, investing their efforts in building their own homes and their own livelihoods, but that walk had to be tough, walking by that beat down, broke down church, walking down that old memory of where God once used to meet us, and man, that used to be special. They just kept walking by and walking by and walking by and putting work in at home, ignoring the tug and the call on their heart that God had placed in front of them to build something greater. And then Haggai shows up. And in the first chapter, Haggai brings the word of the Lord and he says this. He says, is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains in ruin? Now, this is what the Lord God Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your full. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. You neglected what was most important to God to worry about what was most important to you. That's a hard truth that I got to look at in my life. Are you building what's most important to you? What's most important to God? Nation of Israel has this like crazy history of doing this. In Hosea chapter 6, they had just like launched a new festival to honor God. It would be the equivalent of us saying like, we're going to spend all next week just having worship services. And you'd look at us and go, wow, how spiritual of them. But God in Hosea 6:6 rebukes them and says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and knowledge of God over burnt offerings. Like, don't do what you think is awesome. Do what I tell you. Don't do what's right in your own eyes. Do what's right in my eyes. And you have this, like, trust that you have to own up to. Do you believe that what God tells you to build is more important than what you want to build? If God tells you it's time to spend some time just building you and your relationship with Him, not trying to build a relationship with somebody else, are you going to trust Him? Even if that means you're going to spend some nights lonely. Do you trust that His will is better than your will? That His ways are better than your ways? I wrestle sometimes because I am really good at convincing myself that my ways are best. That God likes my ways. The call of Hosea here is like the call I want us to hear clear as a church. I'm not about building what we want to build. I'm about building what God wants us to build. I'm not about going where I want us to go. Oh, and the story doesn't end just in Orangeburg. Don't freak out and write me an email. We're not leaving Orangeburg. But you bet there can only be one Tremont. There will be more Grace campuses. I'm not interested in just playing church the way we want to play church. I am interested in being the church that God wants us to be. When you are building stuff out of priority, it's not that God cared that they were building houses with some nice shiplap on them. I don't think God feels one way or another about your shiplap. Great, if you like it, great. If you want a garage, fine. What he cares about is that the priorities are in the right order. And He's clearly saying to an entire nation, like, all of the effort you have put into building, all the effort you're putting into building your career, to building your status, to building your brand, to building your name is empty. It's coming back. It's not giving you what you thought it would give you. And here's why. It's just because your priorities are out of whack. Build what I want you to build. Build what I care about first. Seek me first. And all of this other stuff will be added to you. The people respond in beautiful fashion. They repent, they turn, they go, yeah, you're right. And they start building the temple again. How amazing, like, is that simple spiritual act of going, God, I got my preferences, but I'm going to choose your ways. How beautiful and spiritual is that act, going, God, I got my direction, but I'll follow you. God, I want to build my kingdom, but I'm going to be about your kingdom. And this nation of people, they come back and they start to build God's temple again for a month. And then they're like ready to quit. That's I love that, because like I'm good for a month. You know, like, then I need to remember, oh yeah, I'm not supposed to eat the Twinkies. They go for a month, and what happens here in Haggai chapter 2 is they're building and they're building and discouragement's still there and the opposition is still there. If you want a life without opposition and discouragement, settle for a comfortable life of nothing. Your legacy will be nothing. Your relationships will dwindle. But they're there and they're pushing through and they're working. But what happens is they're getting this and like they're getting together and they're looking back, and some of the old timers that have been around a minute or two, they're looking back and they're looking at the old temple that lives in their mind, their vision of it. They're starting to go like, oh, well, this isn't as good as that. Talk about sitting hard, whether you grew up coming to this building or you grew up coming to the building in Cressona. That temptation is there for all of us. Oh, this isn't like it used to be at Cressona. It's not as cozy. There's more space. People are too spread out. I knew you'd fill up the back first. This isn't like how it used to be in the late 90s and early 2000s in Holland Bush Lane. I say this with like, it's hard for me too. I grew up in that building in Cressona. I ate lunch with my dad every day until he went to see Jesus. The people are here and they're building a new temple and they're going, this isn't how it used to be. And they quit. And Haggai delivers another word to the leadership and the people. And it says this, be strong, all you people of the land, and work. For I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place, I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. When they're ready to give up, and maybe if you're ready to give up building something in your life and things aren't like working out the way you thought they'd work out and things aren't going the way you thought they were going to go. And in Tremont, it's not like you thought it was going to be like. And Josh is a little taller on the screen and a little bit rounder than he was in person. And you're sitting in whatever seat you're sitting in Grace Free Church and you're ready to quit on something. Because it's not working out and the opposition is too hard and you're feeling pretty discouraged. God says to you the same thing he says to them. Be strong. And get to work building what I called you to work. The harvest is going to be epic. I'm with you. I have everything that you need, and what I do next in your life, if you follow me, be far greater than anything you have seen me do yet. I love that word of challenge and encouragement. Be strong. Get to work. I'm with you. I have everything you need. And that's the word to you if you're trying to rebuild your purpose, trying to rebuild your sense of value on this planet, if you're trying to rebuild some relationships, if you're trying to rebuild your sense of meaning, if you're trying to rebuild your life, if you're sitting here and you're like, I don't know how I'm going to do it, God says to you, be strong. Just put in the work following me. I have everything you need and I'm with you no matter what. And that's the word to us as a church too. There is always going to be opposition and discouragement. We have a jersey on that has a bullseye on its back. We're not doing this for us. We're doing this for God, and we're doing this for the county He's given us, and we're doing this for the friends and family you have that you think you'll never see in church, the people that you love and care about that are lost and struggling, and you're not sure if they're going to make it. That's why we're building this together. And God says, be strong. Get to work. It doesn't say, how would you like it to look? What do you want it to sound like? He just says, I'm with you and I have everything you need. So as the worship team comes out, I'm going to this is new. I just want to wrap this with a couple thoughts. The past is a basement that you build on. It's not a place you want to live. So no matter who you are, no matter where you're from, no matter what you've been up to in Tremont or Orangeburg or Cressona or Schuylkill Haven or Shamokin or wherever you've been, look at your past with gratitude, because God has done some stuff in it to bring you to the place you are now. And that deserves a little bit of honor and a little bit of love. But don't live there. You're not supposed to live there. God calls you to live in faith and face forward to what He wants to build next. What He wants to build in your own life and what He wants us to build together. Hold gratitude in one hand, but your faith for the journey ahead in the other hand. We have all that we need. Most importantly, God's presence. And if you belong to Him through faith in what His Son has done on that cross and empty tomb, you have His Spirit. You have His presence. There's nowhere you can go. There's no opposition that can chase it from you. There's no discouragement that can drown out the presence of God in your life. And then lastly, maybe put some work in to what God would have you build. Maybe divert a little bit of your energy and effort away from the kingdom you've been building for yourself into the purpose and the mission that God has given you and given us together. Because when you do that, like, you can expect God to do amazing things in your life. Let's pray. God, thank you so much. For who you are. Forgive me, forgive us for the times in our lives where we put all of our energy into building what we want, neglecting what you desire for our lives. Would you recapture our attention and hearts? Would you give us clarity? We know what you want. You said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love others. To the disciples, you said the way that you have loved us. All of the other law and prophets hang on those two things. Would you help us to build something special together? Something that honors you, something that impacts others, something that makes a real, lasting, eternal difference in this county. We ask for your grace and your mercy and strength as we do it. In Jesus' name, amen.